Education does help us to enable strangers, but it's the power gives that in the end reach the world. We thank God for whatever is happening at the moment, manifestations or laughter and all kinds of things. But in the end, we need to channel it to set people free from sickness, sin, diseases, and from the devil.
And that's where the rubber hits the road. And whatever move there be, it cannot run from the fundamentals of what we consider to be revival. See, what is my personal definition of revival, right? Let's look at it in the Gospel of John 14. John chapter 14. I'll take this off first since we're not going to touch on it today. Insufficient time to touch on this point, this last point in John 16. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these shall he, these he will do, because I go to my Father. That personally, now people have had their different definitions of revival, but I have my definition. And whether it has come to pass fully or I'm still on the way there, makes no difference. That is still where I'm heading. Whether people get satisfied with what they call revival or not, makes no difference to me. That is still where I head for revival. Whether my church grows until it's 10,000 strong or not, I will still not be satisfied because this is where my goal is. Many people are too easily satisfied with what we think is the right standard for revival. But here in John 14, verse 12, we realize it is the works of Jesus, works and greater works. We have greater works. Greater works. It's a twofold expression that Jesus has. Obviously, these two areas need the power gifts. Need the power gifts. And let me emphasize on how important the power gifts are. Let's not degenerate. The prophetic move in the 1980s and in the first part of the 90s has brought an understanding of prophetic gifts. But there is a realm of prophetic gifts that I have touched on in talking about the role of a prophet in the fivefold office that goes beyond the normal gift of prophecy. People get excited when they see vision or they're able to look into the spirit realm. To me, that is just the ABC. What we touched on yesterday on the ability to see spirit, ability to discern spirits, ability to see allegorical messages from the Holy Spirit is just the ABC. It is not the end. It's only Acts chapter 2. It's not Acts 28. So we keep the ABCs to the ABCs and understand that the ABCs will lead you to XYZ. You have to go on from there. So there is a dimension there. But let's look at power gifts. There's a dimension of power gifts that we must not compromise on. Whether we already have arrived there, which obviously we have not, where everyone is healed just by the presence of God. Now, I don't mean that we go out and heal everyone, but everyone who comes, we ask ourselves this question, everyone who comes to Jesus, did they get healed? Yes. Jesus didn't go to everyone, we understand. If Jesus had healed every sick person, there would be no more people to be healed in Acts, in Jerusalem. I mean, there will be some people who get sick in between, but won't be that many. But everyone who came to Jesus was touched. We are learning more and more about the healing gifts of God. We are learning more and more, more capable and more able to help people. We can discern causes of some sicknesses and help people. But we need to set a standard. Each one of us subconsciously have a standard for life. We need spiritual standards of ministry. We need to set a standard and not lower our standards on what the Bible requires us to have. Jesus, when he did, he said, every single one who came to him was healed. We must come to the point
in our walk with God, where all the sick who come to us get help, get touched, get healed. It is the Bible standard. We humbly have to bring that standard up, even though we are not there yet. Hello there. Charles Parham, together with Seymour and his students, knew from studying the Bible that the standard for the baptism in the Spirit is with tongues. They agree on it, they research it, they theologize on it, and they held to that standard. And they were the ones whom God used to bring forth the Pentecostal revival. Correct. So even though we may not have the fullness of those things yet, we must get our theology correct, get our standard correct. If you cannot see where you're going, you will never reach. And we have to chart our course of where we are going in the spirit world. Not be distracted to the left or to the right. We need to chart our spiritual goals, chart our ministry goals, and keep heading for it. Come what may. What are people satisfied with today? Let me write it in black. They are satisfied if they have a big ministry. I mean, not everybody is having a big ministry, but many people are satisfied. Inclusive of big ministry means big churches and big meetings. Some people are satisfied with that, because very few reach that point. But that haven't reached John 14. We haven't even fulfilled one tiny little verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. Bigness in Jesus. Now we're going to talk about mega church and everything and what is involved in bigness. Bigness is immaterial to God and to Jesus. Do you think Jesus was concerned whether it was a multitude or it was two people? I don't think so. Whether he had a multitude or no multitude was immaterial to him. Many times it looks like he wants to chase the multitude away, because he didn't have great compassion on them. But I'm trying to show what a lot of ministers or a lot of people are putting standards on, where standard, big ministry, which include, I mean, gatherings of people. I mean, sometimes when things happen, people go. You understand what I mean? And they say, this is a revival. Set your standards and know where you're going. Okay? I know that large gatherings of people excite people. Every ministry that walks on in God, every church that walks on in God, will from time to time pass through. Remember I talked about the four phases of revival? You remember that? Four phases of revival? There will always be a phase where suddenly there seems to be a lot of people that are attracted, and your ministry or your church gathers attention. I call it gather attention from the rest of the body of Christ. Okay. Kansas City prophets. Are they getting attention today? No. I mean, everyone hits the headlines once in a while. But hitting the headlines doesn't mean that's it. We are Bible students who love God. And we want what God wants. You're here in this Bible school not just to treat it as a normal Bible school or to grow, because you believe you can receive something that you cannot receive anywhere else. Our responsibility is to give you something that you cannot get anywhere else. We may not be able to give you everything. We can only give you what we have. We may not be able to give what we have not have yet that we may have in 10 years' time. But at least our responsibility is to tell you where we are heading in the next 10 years and where our goals are. Whether we reach it in the next 10 years or more, I have confidence that we will reach it before Jesus comes. So it's to share with you our lives, our goals, our standards, that when you go forth, you will not be influenced by what people are satisfied with, but by what we believe God wants us to be satisfied as his standard. So big ministry, well, it's Thank God for that. You know, God can bless you with the grace and the favor into that area. But that's not it. That's not it. And bigness. Oops. Let's see. The ink is drying up. Church growth. If you're a pastor or anything, if your church is growing. Now our church is growing. I mean, it may not be exploding, but it's growing. And you just go away, and after 3 years you come back, we will still be bigger and all those things. That's growing. People could be satisfied with that. Now, I'm not trying to make you dissatisfied, discontented, and all those things. No, I'm just trying to help encourage you to set higher goals. We learn to be contented as we are. We don't want to go around with a sad long face and say, oh, I'm not there yet, or grumpy, or no, we don't. We want to do happy, joyful, fun, but you know where your goals are. You learn to take things as it is, live one day at a time. Remember what I said yesterday? Live one day at a time, Matthew 6. And learn to do what you know best and just, you know, that's it. But you know where you must keep praying towards. Church growth. Your church is growing. Of course, if your church is not growing, people are anxious. And if you're losing people are anxious, etc. And you lose some, gain some, there will always be a percentage that are moving around. But generally, if you do the right things, you will grow. If you're planting a church or you're doing anything, you know, even to plant one next door to me, welcome, no problem. Down the street, three, you know, I'm at number one, you're one number three, fine, no problem. Some people get problems with that. But I think a city is big enough for more than one church. Praise the Lord. The only thing, you plant too near, you may be the one who loses, that's all. So, we need to have an open heart, a generous heart. There is more than enough room for more than one great evangelist, more than one great pastor, one great teacher. More, I mean, welcome, more, the more the merrier. Oh, hail you merry men, right? The more the merrier. Right now, let's say in our own country, Christianity possibly may be only about 10%. In the cities, it may be about 20%. And there's so much more. There's 90%. There's 80% to reach out. Amen. Our population of 18 million. I mean, just take a small percentage of that. There's good enough room for more than one church. I mean, some of you are trying to start work in Penang. And you're there, and all the other churches say, hey, Penang got enough churches. No such thing. If got enough churches, why don't half of the Penang population be converted right now? Correct? Don't listen to those things. You may get your stones, you may get this, you may get that, but do it the right way. Do it ethically. Okay, do it the right way. Hold fast to good ethics. Say, what do you mean by good ethics? Let's say, for example, when God told me that I'll start 10 churches in 10 different nations. Okay? Among those nations, let's say New Zealand. I don't know which city, but as I pray, the leanings are towards Christchurch. And when I discerned that it was Christchurch, immediately I choose not to preach in any other church in Christchurch. Before I knew it, I would accept invitations. Understand what I mean? So that the day, it may be 10 years time, maybe 5 years time, the day God asked me to start a church there, I won't have any other pastor say, oh, you know, you've been with me, and I know I'm going to start a church. The moment I know, I stop. Why? Because I don't want to keep going to their churches and minister and minister and minister and minister, and 1 month later start a church. Do you know there's such a thing as ethics? So, have your rules or ethics. Understand where ethics are, and have integrity. But there's room for everybody. So they may say, no, don't come lah, we got enough churches. No, there's no place for enough churches. Wherever God call you, wherever God send you, just fulfill what God has called you to do. And no one should feel insecure, no one should feel threatened. Your gift will make room for you. There's room for everyone. Amen? Louder amen?
Amen.
So, church growth is good. We need to grow. There is normal growth and special growth. I mean, explosion. And we need to learn to handle that. And some people are satisfied with that. And I may appear satisfied to people. I may appear contented. I mean, generally, it's more because I am relaxed. I'm not stressed out and all those things. But in my heart and in my walk with God, I'm still aiming for that. And people may be satisfied with that. I mean, you could live a contented pastor's life, and you know, your church is growing, everything is growing, financially you're doing well. You know, that's another area there. And some people think that success means that financially you're doing well. Area of finance. That's not it. Even if a person is a businessman, and you're a businessman, and you're doing very well, it doesn't mean that that's it. What does God want you to do with all the money is the second step of your ministry. And what things God wants you to start, what things God wants you to support, what poor God wants you to help. These are other matters that are important when we go to heaven. Finance is another area. When people feel that, oh, their ministry come to the point where they are self-supporting, there's enough things going on, and that's it. But that's not the end. I mean, thank God for those things. They must have come from God. But that's our goal. From the time God first called me to the ministry until now, my goals are still here. Because of those goals, I seek things that people don't seek. That's why, like, in my life, I claim perfect eyesight, and God has done some special work there and healing. Because if that is my goal, it may make no difference, correct or not? As long as I bring healing to people, preach a message, all that, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. I mean, whether you wear glasses and preach, or you wear contact lens and preach, or you go for, what word was that? A laser thing. It makes no difference, correct or not? Robert Flyden went for his, you know, thing. He used to wear glasses. He doesn't wear glasses now. You know, I asked him why. They got here. No, he went for laser surgery. Right. I mean, it's easy, you know, just go for that. But because I believe there is a realm of the power of God that can touch spirit, soul, and body. Every cell in your body is energized, and all sicknesses can be healed by the power of God. That I have my own goals, and I do things that are different. Set standards that are different. And that doesn't mean tomorrow you don't come with your glasses, all right? Praise God. Anyone you looking around, well, what about us over there? Don't throw away your glasses. Let your faith develop. And I have a tip series on how to help that, how to do your exercises on that area and let it heal. Because we don't want you to go around with short sight and then, you know, bang all the people around and knock them over and bring them to heaven earlier or to hell earlier. We don't want that to happen. And if you cannot see very clearly, don't throw away your glasses and from the back pretend to write notes. Still need them, please use them. And but as our goals grow, life changes, and we need to keep those areas there. It's not just finances, but it's deeper than that. Learn to be contented, learn to be satisfied, learn to have fun doing whatever you're doing, and enjoy your life to the fullness, the abundant life that God promises you. There are things that concern God. There are things that God wants to see. The works of Jesus. Greater works. Oops. We have also the area of Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. You understand the extent that Jesus wants us to move into. Verse 18, excuse me. 18, Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Go and heal. Go and raise the dead. Go and cast out devils. Go and open blind eyes. I believe these are all intricate commands that are in what I call the gospel of the kingdom that need the demonstration of the power gift. I call them the gospel of the kingdom of God. Because I just understand it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, although some people may think that some of these things pass away, and when Jesus commanded his disciples, it is not in a sense that he wanted today, I believe the principle and the power of it should still continue. Look over at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 2. Have you found it? Luke 9, verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom and to what? Heal the sick. I believe we are commissioned. Why? Because sickness, sin, and disease are all connected to the devil's kingdom. We are not going out to condemn the sick people and tell them it's wrong to be sick. We are going out with the power of God to set them free. If you don't have the power to set them free, don't condemn them. But when you have the power to set them free, even then it doesn't give you the right to condemn them. You just set them free. Look, he sent them out to heal the sick. Can you see the standard that Jesus had? And because the church lost its power, we have reduced the Great Commission to he sent us out to tell. We are too frightened to add the other thing. And I think that is a compromise of the standard of God. He sent us out to heal. Every time you see a sick person now, you know God sent you out to heal. And in a cross reference of that, in Matthew 10, he specified what the people are supposed to do. Matthew 10. We found Matthew 10. Of course, verse 1 must take place first. He gave them power, exousia, and dunamis, over unclean spirits. Now, Luke 9, verse 1 tells them both exousia and dunamis have been given. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, after he has given that power, then he gives a command to go forth. Look at verse 7. Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, preach. Why is it that we always take the preaching part and leave out the rest? Look at what he says in the next verse. Verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. As you have received freely, freely give. As you receive, freely give. He actually told them to do the miracle. Am I right? He's asking them to go and do the miracle. You know why the Church of Jesus Christ is trying to do all kinds of other things to bring the gospel to people, but they neglect the most important, the power gift. The power gifts are the one of the most vital evangelism methods that God advocates. No compromise on that. Power gifts are very important. And there are power demonstrated by many men of God today as they go all over the world, but still we haven't reached the stage of the works and the greater works of Jesus. We see sometimes large portions of people being touched and healed, but we haven't seen that. And some of us are wondering, why does it take so long? Because when we reach that stage, it is very fast. You will have no time to do anything. Thank God he's taking his time now. Imagine if every sick person is healed by you. Where is your privacy? None. They'll be knocking on your door day and night. coming for you. Oh, please, please. People will be coming from all over the world. All over the world, they travel miles in order to get a healing. Where is he? Where is Canada? Where is he? And people looking for you. Even you go for vacation, they'll be looking for you everywhere. I thank God that He reserves it for a special time. Let me tell you, before Jesus Christ comes, the church will experience this. Now, I know some of you want to get married and have children, live a family life, and you're praying that this will be delayed. Please don't. Let it come in God's time scale. But one thing I believe, we cannot reach it unless we can see it first. We must see that rain first, somehow on our inside, inscribed by the Word of God. There is that rain. Greater works, the gospel of kingdom. I can see very clearly, we are commissioned to heal the sick. I'll let that sink in for a while. You are not just commissioned to go and preach. You are actually commissioned to go and heal the sick and cast out devils. Now don't say, go rush out after this and drive to Sungai Buloh and try to heal all the lepers there. Don't forget, ST, here. You must see this first and then you go for this. You have no motivation for this if you don't see this. Because if I just tell you to do this, being with me, you will be asking why, and what, and how. You won't realize that the goal is to keep ourselves in that surrendered position. Until God so chooses in your life to release different measures, and in His dispensation to release the full measure into the church. And when more and more people are there, it will be almost like a Luke 24:49 taking place all over again. And all over the world, upper rooms. While we are doing that, we must not be doing nothing either. You still keep pursuing church growth and you know, these things and all these normal things. To me, all these are normal things. This is special to people. To me, these are normal. If you do the right thing, all these things will come. This that people call the end is to me only the ABC, the beginning part. And this is nothing to God. Whether you're well-known, unknown, all these things is nothing to God. Whether you have a big crowd or no big crowd, nothing to God. And I will continue to be faithful in this area to the church. Sunday after Sunday, visit the people on the weekdays, helping them, teach them, nurse them, and do all kinds of things for them, and be responsible to organize the right things, help the people, fellowship with one another, help them to know one another. All these things, no problem, I'll do it with zeal. But these are just normal work, that's all. We need to set our goal here. We are commissioned to heal the sick. When I saw that we are commissioned to heal the sick, I realized that I cannot bring healing to others until I know that healing my power myself. If I get my healing through a natural method, I have lost something. It may not be your view, but that's my view. My standards are what Smith Wigglesworth would say. He said, no knife will ever touch this physical body. He said, you may call that foolish. Let me tell you, a lot of people are now compromising and going into the natural. You may call that foolish, but there is a standard that is there. We cannot deny. To me, let's say it's cancer or something. You go for radiotherapy and all the new methods and all these things. You may get cured, but I think you may have lost something. To me, let's say it's cancer or something. You go for radiotherapy and all the the new methods and all these things. You may get cured, but I think you may have lost something. And in the first place, it's not a full cure. They're just trying to get rid of all the cancer cells. To me, it's still better to live the full life you can. You die, die. You live, live. Now, it may frighten some of you. I don't expect any of you to live to that standard either. I'm compassionate. And I don't expect my church people to live that standard, because it's a free choice. But I choose to live that standard. I don't expect even my own family to choose that standard. But as for me, I will choose to walk that standard. Where it will lead me, I do not know. I cannot see fully. But I know it will be something good. Smith Wigglesworth set that standard. Kenneth Hagin did not require that standard of his family, but he himself set that standard. John G. Lake set that standard. If you want to reach the greatness that you read that has been done by this man of God, you must have the same standard. Now, don't be cruel to people who cannot reach that standard. Be compassionate. If somebody needs glasses and don't have the ability to move into that area, I would, and if they're desperate, I would pay for them and get them one. I would not have compromised my standard. If somebody needs to go to a hospital, I would send them. I would not prevent them from doing it. But I'm bringing forth a standard of ministry for you to choose if you so want. I have not taken a single Panadol. If there's any small little irritational sickness or disease, small flu, small fever, anything that has come that may cause by natural neglect, I would rather fight it through. I may be more careful in my diet, take the right foods, etc., or take some, you know, herbs or anything that are good, but I would not take any other help except relying on God. Up to you to choose a standard. But at least I have offered you a standard. Right? And if you don't choose that standard, I won't look at you as if you're inferior either. It will be wrong. I will look at it as God's different call for different people. To some who are called to cut diamonds, we have to be as tough as diamonds. To some who are called to be clay pots, they have to be as soft and pliable as clay. To each his own. Determine your call, but recognize that standard. Whether you would choose to live that standard personally and your ability doesn't matter, but proclaim that standard. It is the will of God that we go for and heal the sick. And every time I see sick people and all that, all I feel is the church has not come to that level. Don't condemn people. We do not understand everything yet on all the healing, the ability to bring to them. But we need to raise the standard. And what did Jesus say in his own ministry? Is that Jesus' standard on the gospel of the kingdom? We look over at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Of course, when we move into some of these things, they are right. We would have, among those things, have souls saved. Because some people, they are a bit on the negative side, and they always, you know, when something has happened, let's say the charismatic move came, they will always say, well, souls. Oh, D, yeah. Praise the Lord, thanks. F, oh, how did I go to F? A, B, C, D, okay. And souls saved. And you say, oh, no, well, unless it's evangelism, it's not a true move of God. Not necessarily so. sometimes it takes time for evangelism to take place. When the charismatic move first came, a lot of charismatics were accused of stealing sheep, of not evangelizing, it's just transfer growth and all this kind of rubbish. Even Paul the apostle steals sheep from the synagogue. How do you start a church if you don't have some Christians at least to start around with? So I'm not saying that you purposely go out and campaign. That would be not ethical. But there are enough backslided Christians in any city of the world that if you were only to reach out to backslided Christians, you would have a giant-sized church. It's true. There are enough out there. And some of those whom you may reach who may have come from another church, maybe they are on the verge of backsliding, giving up, or they already dried up. They're just looking for a place to go, but they keep staying because they got no place to go, that's all. So away with those things. I mean, you just make sure your ethics are correct. You don't go out and camping, don't go and leer. You know, all you do, open the door of your church, publish pamphlets and say, well, welcome. And then if they come, that's different. I have a very strict policy. If somebody is from another church and they ask for counseling or ask me to visit them, I used to, long ago when I first started, but I do not do now. But they are the body of Christ. Yes. Usually what I ask them is, I say, please ask your pastor first, since you are under the pastor, and say, check with the pastor, and if the pastor knows that I'm coming to your house, which belongs to his member, and doesn't mind and gives me the okay or contacts me directly, I'll come. And I've done that several times. But if they need help, I'll say, why don't you come? Then it's a different thing. And your pastor calls me, I say, what are you doing with my fat sheep over there? And I can tell the pastor, well, he came to me. I didn't go to him. Thank you. God bless you. It's a different thing. So these are what I call small little ethics that we must observe in a ministry. And you will develop them as you grow along. And if you're not sure, ask someone who knows it. These are all the ethics that we must follow in our life. Without ethics, we don't have integrity. It is ethics that produce integrity in our life. So we need to know it. If you are under another pastor and you got a lot of desires and your pastor may not be moving differently and you're going to move into different things, it is only ethical if you're going to start another work that is going to compete with him to just let him know. He said, but yeah, let him know he killed me. Let him kill you, then God resurrect you and go on your work. Say, but when he killed me, where's the ministry? If God wants you for the ministry, you won't be killed. Yeah. And sometimes you got to tell things that people may not want to hear. I mean, they don't want to hear that you are going out. But it is ethical to let them know. Correct? Then to sneak out the back door, he looks around for you and he will look for you. And finally he finds you in some place after 6 months, 6 days. And he says, where have you gone? Oh, actually, I started another church. But you were with that person for three years. Isn't it right to just let him know? It doesn't mean that he has to agree with you, but these are all little ethics we must develop in our life. If you don't develop it, you will have no integrity. And if you don't have integrity, God will not bless you financially. You're a crook, a rascal, a robber, a thief, and da-da-da-da-da-da. We need ethics. Spiritual ethics. Godly ethics. Do the right thing. Right, and God will bless you. He'll bless you financially. He'll bless you in your ministry growth and everything. And always I tell people, I say, no, when you do, have some ethics. Don't run people down. No, don't be negative about people, because someday you may still need them. Hello there. You may discover you need them one day. And when you leave a church, leave it peacefully. Even if they give you left foot of fellowship, give them the right hand of goodbye. So they go, oh, you go, bye. You see, but what about when Paul said, take up the shoes and shake the dust? That is a prophetic thing that you do when you only when you have the spirit of prophecy. Of course, I'm open to the fact that it can be done. But we are too quick to pronounce judgment sometimes. Well, where were we? Gospel of the Kingdom. John chapter 10. I hope we have reached there. We haven't even gone to that verse. John chapter 10. Jesus Christ said in verse 37. Have you found verse 37? If I do not do the works of my Father, what did he ask them to do? Do not believe me. The question is, can we say that to the people whom we are preaching to? Look at what Jesus said, and this is to unbelievers. Okay, his audience are unbelievers, the Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't sees and wouldn't sees, mustn't sees. Verse 37, if I do not do, and I mean, we all know that the works include the miracle. I mean, you can spiritualize it. Oh, his works were his preaching. I mean, we are students of the Bible, we know it doesn't just mean that. That is for those who are liberal theologians who have nothing else to do except to sit around and do whatever they want to do. Verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, what did he ask them to do? Can you read out loud? Do not believe me. What a statement. We are commissioned to do the works of the earth. We are commissioned to heal the sick, cast out devils. Whatever your experiences are. You see, I don't capitalize on my spiritual experiences. I don't simply share what Jesus tell me. I don't go out and tell people that Jesus appeared to me. I don't go around and tell people I've been to heaven. What's the use of capitalizing on those things? The most important thing is what happens after your experience. The result in your life of your experience. How changed you are. How transformed you are. Don't capitalize on the fact that you may have laughed, you may jerk, you may shake. You can shake all you want, jerk all you want, laugh all you want. But if you can't cast out devils, heal the sick, and wrought the works of God, that is not revival yet. That is only the manifestation in your life. Keep the side effects as side effects. Remember John G. Lake, a wise and young preacher in one of his books? He prayed and everyone fell under the power. John G. Lake came to him and said, young man, what do you think? And the young man said, isn't it wonderful they all fell under the power? And then John G. Lake said, yes, but how many of them were healed? And then the elderly statesman advised the young minister, you have concentrated on getting them to fall, but not on getting them healed. Therefore, some were healed when more could have been healed. Listen very carefully. If you concentrate on getting the manifestation and the side effect, you will not have the end result of what is designed to produce. Set your standards and concentrate on what you need to get at. Now, don't run to the opposite and run down people's manifestation either. Understand what I mean? They are good. You must see that. Some people are extreme. They write all these things. I'm not the type to write these things off. But I encourage them. I encourage wildfire. I encourage people to go crazy in the spirit, drunk in the spirit, do whatever they want, joke all you want. You know, no problem with me. But you need to go further, is my only thing. What is the... Now, of course, some people do get healed. Correct? They would be healing. I mean, obviously, should be. Some people will be changed. Some people are healed inside and they can become different people. Thank God. But never ever call a side effect manifestation. Never call it the move. It is still a manifestation. In John Wesley's time and George Whitfield's time, if you don't believe me, go and read those biographies. They have a lot of jerking, correct? Do you know that John Wesley and George Whitfield themselves do not jerk? They do not. But in their ministry, produce jerking. They were concentrating on evangelism and on getting the word to people. At first, George Whitefield and John Wesley were trying to get rid of the manifestation. They were at least saying these people were crazy. But God taught them to give place for these people, leave them as they are. Now, it's wrong to say that these things are wrong or to give no place for them. Some people need to dance and worship God in this way, right? Some people worship God. Our way. The thing that I'm concerned is that people who receive a manifestation in a certain way say that others don't receive anything from God or they're not in the mood. Other people may be more in the mood than they think. Now, have you ever seen Rodney Howard Brown go? Anybody seen any of his tapes? At the most you see, he looks a bit drunk. Correct? Side effects are side effects. In my ministry, I never emphasize on people falling under the power, but people still do. Now, some ministry want people to fall, correct? You have met some of them, they come and preach in your class and make you fall. Am I right? And they push you down, correct? And we already taught you what to do if they push back. Push back if you're rough, but if you're nice to them, then make sure someone catch you and do a act. Don't bend your knees so that it look more real. I think that when the dust has settled and 10 years have passed, the truth will prevail. The real things will still come up. And it's the presence of God. Now, there are three things that I was teaching on Sunday, last Sunday. I just bring it up. Oh, let me use a different color. Number one, a manifestation. Number two, revelation. Number three, the realm of love and mercy. Sometimes I find people with manifestation one of the most judgmental people I've ever seen. They have not met God yet. Let me bring this up to you. There are these three realms that you move into for manifestation. Manifestation will always be there because the greatness or the power of God and the presence of God will continue to produce side effects in our physical body and in the natural world. And they will keep changing and moving and flowing. But it must produce revelation. And what do we mean by that? At the end of all your manifestation, when the dust has settled, the question that is asked is, have you known God better? Is your walk with God closer? Do you know that at the end of our life on earth, the question is, have you known God? And have you lived for God? Correct? All manifestation's purposes is to help you to know God. I have a quest to know God. Sometimes part of knowing God means to release yourself to the manifestation. This is to encourage you. In case some of you are against manifestation, then I must also touch on that part. But some of you are so stiff. You're anti-manifestation. No. On one side, they are the pro-manifester. The other side is anti-manifestation. If God moves, He has to move in the way I want. Maybe you need to be shaken up a bit. Jerk up a bit and lose all your dignity and your pride. And then, after that happens, you receive a revelation of God. You saw some things about God you never saw before. Correct. God gives grace to the humble. Sometimes our resistance to manifestation is our pride. You're too proud to laugh in public. The spirit will go and make you laugh. You go. And when you don't laugh, your stomach laughs, so you jerk. Okay. But if he never make you laugh, don't go and pretend to laugh. And what is the end? Where are we going should be our question all the time. Are we blind following blind, or leaders of those who can't see? If you're a leader, you must look forward. Where is this one leading us? A revelation of God. You know the purpose of this move, or whatever it is? It's supposed to awaken us. This is almost like the third time the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, don't forget me. The Holy Spirit is trying to say, don't forget me. People are doing their work without the Holy Spirit. People are doing so many things without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes in the Pentecostal move and says, I'm important to you. You need me. You can't walk and work and live and minister without me. So the Pentecostals open to the Spirit. Then the Pentecostals got a bit organized and capable and blessed and everything, and they start doing things without the Holy Spirit, and God worked among the charismatics. And they found they need the Holy Ghost. Traditional people get touched who were, in a sense, although they had the Holy Spirit in them, in a sense, spiritless. And they found the Spirit and they got touched. They found, oh, isn't the Holy Spirit good? Same thing. And the charismatics got a bit blessed and organized and capable and recognized. And they forgot to depend on the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there comes this move that makes everyone look at little children. And everything. What's the purpose? What's the revelation? What's behind it? It's a reminder that we have to be childlike in God. A reminder that we need to listen and yield to the person of the Holy Spirit. So what happens? In every move, they're extreme. So those, there will be a group that pull out and slowly will emphasize, you need to judge, you need to laugh. And they will emphasize, just like long ago when people fall under the power, there's a whole group that start teaching, even teaching people they need to fall. They do minister to some people. They do help people. I mean, almost anything you do that is part of the Bible, bless somebody. But I call this extreme fringes. The basic thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to get attention to is give the Holy Spirit the place in the life, in the ministry that we need to. In our meetings, in everything we do. That's the basis. And at the end of the manifestation, you must know God better. Because at the end of it, if you don't know God better, you have only gone to, it's like gone for a bath and got dirty again, nothing happens. No revelation. There has to be a realm of revelation that comes. By revelation, it doesn't mean, you know, there's a deep truth, because some truths are experiential. Like the realm of the love of God, they're experiential. You can theologize all you want and don't feel it, it's different. But there should be some sort of revelation knowledge of God. And from that realm, he moves it into, I call the third realm, the realm of God. The realm where God lives. Realm of love and mercy. And that's a tremendous realm. Where everyone you look at, you feel the love of God. Where it become in a position where you never judge people. You couldn't judge people. When you look at it, all you feel is the same love that God has for their life. Realm of love and mercy. Now, this is the progression. Now, when the power comes, it will produce manifestation. People are being carried away by side effects. They are forgetting our work, the gospel of the kingdom, what we were designed and called God to do. All these manifestations should, if you tap on it correctly, produce more power. In some people who don't move on, it doesn't seem to produce more power, but it should. if you were praying and you were shaking and praying, shake and shake, you should sense more of the exousia and dunamis of God on your inside. And because of, and in the end, what is the thing? It's not because you shake. It's not for the sake of shaking. The shake is the revelation. In the end, there's an internal consciousness of the power and authority. And then you walk out of that power and authority in a different way. You pray for people in a different way. You minister in a different way. You preach in a different way. You teach in a different way. The works of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom. And those of you who are experiencing it, I know what it's like. I mean, sometimes you're shaking and you pray. I mean, you know what it's like when you pray and you just give yourself to God? Sometimes you're shaking. Oh, and after 3-4 hours of that, it feels like you're on cloud nine. It feels like you could change the world. Correct? And then when you preach, you sound different. Even though you secretly shake away in your closet, nobody sees you. And you come out, you say a few words, like Sanji Fine, that power hits. That's what should happen. Don't stop at the manifestation. Press further into the realm of the presence of God. Know God. Know the Holy Spirit. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. The realm of power that God wants you to bring you to. So Jesus says, if I don't do the works, do not believe in me. He told the unbelievers. In John 14, he told the believers, his own church. Now, don't any of you take this teaching and run to some of those who are freshly being touched and say, ah, all this, you know, not enough. I mean, where is the miracle? Where is that? That is a wrong attitude. That will also be wrong. And we need to allow what I call a free flow, because different people need different areas of touch and different release. And you don't know them. Who knows? People may need that. But don't expect everyone to be touched the same way. To each his own. John 14, verse, looking here, verse 11. He says it in a different way now to his own disciples. John 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Do you realize what he's talking about? He's saying that God is in him. That's what he's saying. And of course, he calls God his Father. He says the Father is in him. If you can't believe that the Father is in him, you must believe. Because you see the signs, the wonders, the miracles. You see the results, the works. Listen very carefully. You can shake all you want, laugh all you want, but you have no greater authority and power over Satan and what Satan does. He has made no difference to Satan's kingdom. Hello there. Whatever we experience must bring us to a greater dimension of the consciousness of God. Listen very carefully. You can shake all you want, laugh all you want, but you have no greater authority and power over Satan and what Satan does. He has made no difference to Satan's kingdom. Hello there. Whatever we experience must bring us to a greater dimension of the consciousness of God. Now, revelation could be replaced by another word that is more subjective. I call it, John G. Lake likes to use that word. Consciousness. To me, revelation is a consciousness of truth and of God and of His presence. That consciousness can come into our natural mind to give us some principles or knowledge. But some knowledge is not intellectual. It is a knowing on the inside. This consciousness, it must produce a consciousness of God. And our consciousness of God must increase with every experience. It must be a permanent feature of our life. This consciousness of God produces an authority to take over everything that the devil has stolen. To extend the kingdom of God. Believe me, it is possible to channel God's power wrongly. Long ago, there are different phases. When there was a phase when there was a lot of demonstrations and different things, and almost every Sunday we were moving in the Spirit and say, we don't do it now not because we can't. We don't do it now because it's not the will of God. We do once in a while. And just like Pastor Aaron and I were discussing after meeting yesterday, say, how do you minister to church members when you know very well? It's very hard to prophesy over them anymore. I mean, you know everything about their life. I mean, you can still prophesy, but there's too much natural knowledge to move into spiritual knowledge when you prophesy. And once in a while, you may have a real prophecy, which, you know, we still move in. But we have to walk with the Spirit. Although we may not do that, I can guarantee you one thing. The same presence of God will always be there. Because we have not backslided. The manifestations may change and there may be different ways to do things. But I can assure you one thing. The same presence will still be there. Because He's Emmanuel. In your own life, you know, I mean, like over here, I'm not as demonstrative as I do in a convention or in a stadium. If I mean it's a stadium, I look like a different person. But it's not because I'm a different person. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do different things. But the same presence that we minister as is here will still be there. But it has a different effect and different manifestation. And you may say, oh, I feel God's presence stronger. That's because people were prepared to feel it. And some people are helped through the works. They are there. The most important thing is to do God's will. And the power of God, I mean, the power of God that is in our life must result in something outside. Jesus said in John 14, if you don't believe that God is in Him, believe it because you see the result, the work. Do you know that it's impossible to have Jesus in you without something happening outside? That's what He's saying. If God is in you, something results. Because the blind man who was healed, you know, and the Pharisees tried to say, hey, don't take him as a prophet. He cannot be prophet, everything. And he says, you know, since when has a man born with blind eyes been opened, etc., etc. There's something about the works of God. And in the book of Acts, you study it very carefully. It's not just great preaching. It is a great miracle. And you would have thought that, you know, after the manifestation on Acts 2, where everybody was drunker, everyone, and the great preaching came forth, correct? Great preaching came forth. And remember this, the whatever drunkard on all this they feel never produced a convert. When the power that they were experiencing, that some of them were half drunk, was released in the power of the spoken word. There was an awesome presence of God. And that spoken word, boom, cut their heart. 3,000 people were saved. Correct? The power of God needs to be channeled. Sometimes when I sense God's power, I mean, and that God's presence, sometimes you pray, you reach a certain rank where you know that whatever you ask, you know, it's tremendous. And people ask for all kinds of things. They ask for cars, houses, and all these things. But sometimes at that rank, if you ask for soul, you really get the answer for the soul. That's what I mean. There's a rank there. If you don't believe me, you check it out with God in your prayer time. What I'm saying now. That the power of God can be channeled wrongly. To achieve the wrong thing. Just like electricity. It could be wasted. Electricity can be wasted. But the power needs to be channeling the right thing to achieve the right thing. Leave the side effect as a side effect. Enjoy it as you can. But there must be a channel of the power of God. And when the power of God comes into our life, there are results. There are effects called works. We know from Ephesians 3 that the presence of God in our life is in degrees. Because Paul was praying for the Ephesian Christians for Christ to dwell in them. He was already in them, but probably praying for greater presence of Christ. So that is why we come back to the word ST here. There are degrees of God's presence in our life. If you concentrate on the side effect, you cannot reach the fullness. I repeat again. These are spiritual lessons I have learned. If you concentrate on just the side effect, you cannot reach the fullness. So the next time you're in a meeting where people are laughing and people are doing, don't concentrate on the laughing. Concentrate on the presence of God and you will be blessed. Concentrate on receiving more of that presence. Concentrate on receiving more of that thing, awesomeness of the presence of God in you. Concentrate on God and you will receive the fullness of what you can receive there. Sometimes you can receive a manifestation and you feel very empty too. Because your concentration is there. Let me point to a scripture verse here in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 29. We found in Exodus 34, verse 29. The side effect of the presence of God on our life. Exodus 24, verse 49. Verse 29. 34, verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know. Now read this verse here. Moses did not know. Did Moses know? Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone. And if Moses tried to know, he loses effect. You must always concentrate on God, not the side effect. Concentrate on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And that presence builds in your life. And as it builds in your life, the side effects come. Jesus said, if you cannot believe that God is in him, believe him for the effects that is coming out from his life. God cannot dwell in us mightily without results. So here comes an important statement. Therefore, if we don't have enough results and work, it is because his presence in us is insufficient. Think about that. Jesus said, the Father is in me and I in the Father. If you don't believe it for the work's sake. He is saying that the presence of the Father in him has produced the work. He is also saying that it's impossible for his Father to be in him without the work. If you see the works, definitely the Father is in him. That's what he's saying. Therefore, the secret of the power gift is in the indwelling and abiding internal presence of God in our lives. And according to Ephesians 3, it is in different measures. The secret is getting that more and more, and that is my goal that I'm sharing with you. I know the secret. I'm growing in that secret and I'm sharing it with you. I could have kept it secret and don't tell you. But that's wrong and selfish. I know the secret is in meditating on this presence of God on your inside and drawing it more. Moses did not know that his skin shined. I mean, if he concentrate on getting his face skin to shine, he'll miss the point. What was Moses concentrating on? Roger. God. Moses was concentrating on God. He was concentrating on what God was saying and God and what God was doing. He remember he just had an experience with God where he saw the back part of God's glory. Remember that? He saw the back part of God's glory. What was he desiring? Before God showing the back part, what was Moses saying? Show me your glory. He was interested to see God, to know God, to love God, to bless God, to worship God. He was not interested in his skin shining like a light bulb, although that is marvelous. A lot of people would love that so they could advertise it and collect a big offering. Come and see the face shine, no? $1,000 each. God is here. Concentrate on the presence of God. The key to the power gift is estate. Being, state of being in God, in Jesus. And we can grow in that abiding presence. Personally, in my life, I could feel it. It comes to the stage after the angelic visitation where I said before about, and he put the ball of light. And all I do is concentrate on that presence and yield to that, and it starts affecting my physical eye. And it seems to affect anything in the body that is not perfected yet. It affects physically. And then, so sometimes in the morning, I would just let that power exercise my eye from the inside. It has a tremendous effect. Now when I talk about it, think about it, chum, it keep coming up. But it's interesting. And I need to meditate on that experience and on that until it occupies 24 hours of my consciousness. And it becomes subconscious consciousness. If you know what that means, of that presence. And we increase in the presence of God on our inside. Now people cannot see it, just like Sadhu Sunna Singh talked about the thief who killed a righteous man. And then in the end, later when the thief died, the first person the thief saw was the spirit of this righteous man. And when the thief saw him, the thief said, "I wish that I knew that you were a righteous man." And because in the world we are clothed with mortal body. We are clothed in physical areas and physical ways that people cannot see the glory on our inside. Once in a while, when God so determined with the internal, the Spirit of God come on you to do a job, boom, it explodes. And people see such power and glory. Okay, this is what happened. Let me draw a little cartoon again. A little favorite cartoon man. Can I take this off here? Fine. Estee will produce this. Remember, I've given you a tremendous secret. If you meditate this, it's going to transform your life into this too. I don't know. We have the presence of God on our inside. Now that can grow. I draw several circles. Yeah, that can grow. Of course, it's not exactly in that manner because we are just figuratively drawing it. And it grows in different dimensions. Presence of God. Of course, the internal presence can grow. Sometimes it can grow so powerful. The bigger it grows, the more organs and tissues in your body it affects. And it can grow to the point where you are perfectly whole. There's not a sickness in your body. And every cell in your body, the moment a germ and virus touch you, dies. Like John G. Lake. Remember that? John G. Lake was not talking about anointing upon. He was talking about the law, the life of the spirit, the law, the spirit of life. Read that in the book of Romans. Said that is the spirit of life in your physical body. He's not talking about anointing upon. He's talking about something continuously that he walked in, the dominion over sickness, diseases. He even has sermons of dominion. Correct. So that can grow in our life. The internal presence of God grows in our life. He is Emmanuel. And whatever your call, whatever your work, some of us are called different things. Jane is called to act, to do, to drama, to dramatize, to do all kinds of things. Whatever you do, that presence is going to continue. Worship leaders or whatever. Now, under normal circumstances, people cannot see it because there's a thick layer here called your skin. So, putting your words, your mortal body. If people could see all the time, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Correct? They wouldn't have beat Jesus. Did the soldiers see the glory of Jesus in him? No. They see him as a mortal man. They beat him up. I mean, immediately beat Jesus up. Pull his beard. Because he's covered with this skin called the mortal body. They can't see the glory on his inside. You know, each one of you are beautiful in the eyes of God on your inside. Sometimes your worst parts come out is because your soul is being seen as part of your undeveloped self. And sometimes, that's why Paul talks about spirits reflect spirit. Sometimes when you fellowship with people, you could sense the most beautiful spirits in people. You could sense their state of being, their estate is very well developed. And some of them are not preachers. Some are just ordinary church members. Some of my church members are very highly spiritually developed. People don't know that. I know they're a pastor. And sometimes I have chats and fellowship with them. And the way they talk, the way they can bring, you could sense that presence of God. You know they know God. Hello there, the old key. Hey, gone away. Number two, consciousness. They know God. They know God. They've experienced God. They know God. That can grow, but that skin part covers. Once in a while, people may glimpse it. People with spiritual eyes can see. Remember yesterday, you talked seeing the spirit. Of course, there are physical effects. Just like a criminal looks like a criminal. Physically. That's how police can pick people up. I mean, it comes out. But generally, people cannot see. Sometimes you cannot see until you speak to the person, you realize this is no ordinary person. Correct? They look ordinary. And in the supermarket, you pass people by, and they all look ordinary. You sit down and chat with some of them, then you realize, oh, different. They are mighty people. The skin covers us, but it's growing on the inside. As you walk with God, it can grow more and more and more and more until sometimes it affects, you know, the circle covers the outside. You're very close to translation. You grow past the stage. At first it's at the stage where sometimes you get sick and you tap on it, you get healed, correct? And one of the preachers, I forgot, a lady preacher, quite well known, who does a prophecy. Who is this lady preacher? Not the one who came to Malaysia. One move with Kenneth Hagin, who calls Kenneth Hagin Papa. Very good intercession. I forgot her name. One day she was being struck by some sort of cancer, sickness and growth. She's a mighty preacher. And she said, it came out in her magazine. She began to meditate on that consciousness of the Spirit of God on her life. And every time she ministers, she meditates on that presence, that consciousness. That cancer was eliminated. Hello there. Praise the Lord. There's a realm where you tap on that. Then there's a realm where you develop until you don't believe any sickness and disease should ever be on your body. And it's not just what you believe, it's actual. It's very hard to get sick. Isn't it wonderful? We live in a world where people think sickness is a part of life. Correct. So all out there, all newspapers, everything you read. But you move with different people who walk with God and you realize that we're in a realm where we talk about it's very difficult to get sick. Where getting sick is not normal. It's the different realm. And then if you move further than that, the inner presence goes so strong, it affects your physical body so much that sometimes it transforms your physical body and you get translated. Your atoms and molecules go into a phase change. And you're no more of this earth. You're of a heavenly being. Like Enoch, boom, you're gone. And our lives change more and more. Praise God. We grow in our lives in different ways. It affects what you do, what you think, and how you do things day by day. We are always moving from glory to glory. And remember the secret of moving the glory to glory? As you see His glory. Not as you see your own glory. As you focus, your consciousness must be the presence and the glory of God. And it comes in your life. And sometimes part of your consciousness and development changes you. My ethics get stronger and stronger. Your integrity gets stronger and stronger. The things that you're careful about, people are still careless about. It changes you. It changes your family life. It changes everything. And, you know, sometimes people ask, you know, a man of God's wife, what is it like to sleep with a man of God? I mean, I'm not talking about it physically, but they don't know how changed a man of God can be, so that it's no more an ordinary thing. No more ordinary. You're at a different level. You're not human anymore. By saying not human doesn't mean you turn into ET. You don't have the same taste, the same feeling. I know people always like to humanize and say, you know, we stay human and kind of thing. But there is a realm where you slowly become less and less human and more spiritual, more transformed. You don't have the taste. Like some of you have lost your taste for newspaper. Some of you have lost your taste for sin. Correct? You lost it. You become less like the people of the world. I've lost my taste for a lot of things. You lose it. And you lose it without even realizing it. You change. This is happening. And sometimes the change affects you so much and your relationship changes. You relate differently to people. And, let me not go into that. Anyway, this can affect. Now, what happens is this. No matter at what level it comes, when it is the will of God for you to do a job, whatever level that is there by your growth. God sent an anointing upon, let me draw it differently, okay? To differentiate from those straight lines, let's call the anointing upon. There are different levels of the anointing upon, that's why I got to draw so many lines. I better use different color, right? Make it clearer. So that's green, and let me do all this in red. And different levels. And different levels. There are different levels of the anointing of God, just as there are different levels of growth of the consciousness of God, based on Ephesians 3. Our inner man grow. Dr. John was asking, our inner man grow, different strength. There are different consciousness. And there are different levels of anointing. Two things are happening in a meeting all the time. Whatever level a person's spirit is coming out. Sometimes a person could be very highly developed. Let's say it's up to this level. Okay, let's name the levels. Level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5. Okay? So it's level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, this red one also got different level. Anointing upon got different level. So, in order to differentiate from there, let's name it A, B, C, D, E, with A being lowest, and the further you go, the higher. So we differentiate. So this is A, B, C, D, E. Onwards. Sometimes, you have a person highly developed here, at level 5. But it's God's will to move at level A. On the anointing upon. And so, mathematics, 5 plus A equals, let's say, equals, okay, I got to find another thing. Alpha level, okay. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, yeah, you all know Greek. Okay. It produces alpha level. Alpha level 1, okay? In a total thing. Sometimes, A person who is highly developed at level one of their spirit, plus it so happens it's God's will to move a powerful anointing upon in that place and in that time at level F. Are you getting me? Is this getting a bit too complicated? No, huh? It's too simple. It's just plus. We haven't gone to calculus yet. So 5 plus A equals alpha 1. Alpha 1 is what people experience. Then we have 1, level 1 of a personal development, plus an anointing of coming upon of level F, A, B, C, D, E, F, 5th level. F is 6th level. Change. Okay. Now it's not always the equal, but E, level E. Okay, sorry. No, bring you down to level E. Equals in the total experience of the place. Alpha 1. Hello there. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm trying to put in mathematical form some of the things Jesus taught me about the anointing of God. The total experience is still the same, and sometimes people judge and say, oh, you know, this person got only this same anointing. These two are the same. Tak sama. Not the same. If you are sensitive to the Lord, you could actually tell the difference between anointing upon and anointing within. How do I describe it? It's like DC current and AC current. Some of you don't know what DC current. Direct current and alternating current. Okay. DC current has the result, everything looks the same. But there are two types of current. DC current or AC current. And the instruments that are designed for DC current cannot run on AC current. You can't. The results are the same, but the design of everything has to be designed according to the type of current. Otherwise, it's gone. And you have to convert correctly. And sometimes they seem to be able to run for some time, but in the end, it's false. So people judge at different levels. Say, okay, it's the same. It's not. If you're sensitive, you could sense that there is a restraint. Let's say a person at level 5 and supposed to only operate at level A because it's the will of God at that place and that time. You could sense that there is something different, although the anointing is not demonstrated, if you experience enough. And sometimes I experience that. Sometimes I hear people speak and people share. Some people say, some may be well known, some not well known. I hear them one time. And I know this is a level 5 development, although they are walking A. Let me give an example. You know the archaeologist I was talking about, Ron Wyatt, the one who discovered the Ark and Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark and all those things. Have anyone seen the video, sir? Some of you have. Okay, I've ordered the originals, and once the originals come, we need a special session, we will look at it together, okay? And analyze. And you analyze the blood samples found on the Ark of Covenant and everything. You know the archaeologist I was talking about, Ron Wyatt, the one who discovered the Ark and Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark and all those things. Have anyone seen the video, sir? Some of you have. Okay, I've ordered the originals, and once the originals come, we need a special session, we will look at it together, okay? And analyze. And you analyze the blood samples found on the Ark of Covenant and everything. Okay, that man, Ron Wyatt, he was sharing. Of course, when he shared, he cried. But how God helped him discover the Ark and Noah's Ark, Ark of Covenant. Just a simple sharing. Me and Uma watched the tape with me. And I made this comment to the children as we all watched. I said, this man knows God. Now, there was no signs and wonders and no healing, all that. But I know that if this man learned about healing and pray, he would have been effective. You know, sometimes we don't do it because we haven't got that knowledge in that area to do so. But I could sense this man's spirit. It was not anointing upon so much. As I said, this man has gone through a lot. He suffered a lot, persecuted a lot. I mean, he was put in prison in Saudi Arabia because some other archaeologists told on him. All kinds of things. But I said, this man knows God. He's a very spiritual man. And but he didn't do any signs and wonders and all that, but when he prayed, No, there's somebody else who came to town. What was the guy, the children's ministry in MCA, some of you went? Who? Bill Wilson. He is quite developed in his inside. He said, how do you know? I haven't even been to the meeting. There are some things you know without knowing. My spirit doesn't stay in my body. Remember this? Astro traveling? No. No, it's not that right. But, you know, Paul says to the Colossians, your spirit knows. Sometimes I read a book, I hear a tape, I look at a face, I could stand to pick it up. So, anyway, that's a different story. Which story are we on now? Bill Wilson, what's his name? Bill Wilson. Did he pray for the sick? Did he cast out devils? Was he demonstrative? But there was something, right? There was something that touched your life that changes you. After one meeting or two meetings in his meeting. Correct? What are we talking about here? We're talking about this development. Now, if Bill Wilson learns about prayer for the sick and all those other things and do it, he will do it at quite a depth. Hello there. But sometimes some of us look at it and say, hey, it may not be God's will. I do not know. I believe that everything is God's will. Whether it minister to children or everything, or whether you dance, everything, you see to heal the sick. It's a dance, you know, like James. Heal the sick, come on. No. You don't have to actually do it. Sometimes, all you see, do it. And the demons come out. Whatever. Right. Like when you did the first night at the SCM, you did that thing. The presence of God was there. She didn't say a word, but the presence of God was there. Right? This is what I'm talking about. She must have prayed a lot over that. But, you see, sometimes you don't have to actually tell the devil, come out, no need, Paul, take a handkerchief. Acts 19. Isn't that right? What is that? Presence of God. It was one of the demonstrative anointings. I only do it when the Spirit impresses me. And so it's demonstrative. Sometimes when you move in a demonstrative way. And but you notice anything you do it too often gets down. You can get down. I mean, if every time you do it, you can get down. But you learn to flow with the Holy Spirit and you do things differently all the time. It's interesting. And that's why I can teach the same subject, I can teach homiletics again, and it will be different. I'll focus on the same things that I've taught some most in homiletics, but it will be different. You do things differently. And the Holy Spirit is that way. So that is more the demonstrative side. That one probably moving at a higher level on the demonstrative side. But all the time, these things are taking place. And you can see that there are many multiple equations that can take place from just those two. And they're talking about the power gifts, the how-to. Now, there is not much you can do on this ABCDE, with the exception of ABCDE, the laws of ABCDE, FG onwards, involves corporate anointing, corporate prayer, preparation of the people, etc. Remember that? It involves that. And the sacrifice people make to come to those meetings. One day in my office, when was that? About two weeks ago. There's a man who looks up to me as a spiritual father. I don't even know him. He's been hearing my tapes. And he says he knows my voice so well. So he recognizes me on the street. And he's from England, London. Seeking direction and way. And he made appointments to see me. He came for the SGM, stay back for 4 hours, prophetic thing. I think you may have seen him. And he came to my office, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday. He's sitting down waiting. And that day I felt a very strange anointing. My secretary saw it. And I was just weeping all the time. I don't normally do that, although I feel on my inside for people. And as I as I talk to the various people and I hear them sharing their lives and the things that they need, I was just weeping. I was just crying. Crying not because I feel sad, crying because I literally felt that you know, where is it going? The number three, the third realm, the realm of love and mercy. I felt their pain. And then the next appointment here, I was still crying, and I came to my secretary and said, Alice, I don't know what's happening. Give me more tissues. I was just crying all the time. And then another time was when I met there's another person. There's too many stories now, better get to the point. And there's this ABCDEF. Sometimes the expectation of the people pull something out from your life. And there are laws that run these things, expectation, etc., etc. And all these things, people are hungry, everything affects. That is why when we do a convention, when we go to some of those towns, that's the only time some of the people ever hear me live. And you could feel it the moment you come in, the expectation of the people. You in Singapore, I mean, even once a week, the expectation was there. You could feel it, a different atmosphere. You go to my church, a different feeling. Like the people are happy to be in church. And I always tell people, don't go and criticize the people in my church. It's not because they're lazy or lethargic. No, it's just that they are family. It's more family feeling. I mean, and if anything happens to me, the whole church will be crying. I mean, they do love me. It's not, and they do look up to the anointing and do the rule, respect the thing. But it's a different level. It's a different atmosphere. See, the day when if I should be traveling more often and be once a month in my church, different again. That one Sunday will be different from all the other three, four Sundays. It has to do with laws or expectancy. But these are just side things. We don't pay attention to them. We don't pay too much attention to all these little things. We just make sure we do all those things properly. When the laws that govern this thing are done, it can increase a different level. But otherwise, let's say it's God's will for C and your level is 2, level 2. So level 2 plus C is only a certain amount. Let's say it's God's will for C and your level is 4, then it's 4 plus C is a higher level, correct or not? There are some things you can control on the outside, but there are some things you cannot control. I cannot, in a sense, control the expectancy of people. It's their hunger that controls it. It's a prayer over the city that controls it. That's why you send intercessor, everything. And even you intercede, sometimes it takes time for it to happen. We have been interceding for our country for so long, there is a greater hunger in our country than ever before. Correct? There are some things you cannot change instantly. These are things you cannot change instantly. You can't. It takes time. And of course, now wherever we go, there is a level of expectancy that is always there. These are things that developed to 20 years of ministry. We didn't just change instantly. Some of you go out, you want people to organize, all the churches come to it. Different. And sometimes the expectancy dies off because people hear you once, that's it. I mean, we have speakers who have come. I've been offered speakers and they came once or twice and I found that nothing else new. Even my own church, the level of expectancy drops. And even you bring the same speaker over and over again, they keep sharing the same thing, the level also drops. So it also takes maintenance. But what I'm saying here, there are things that you cannot control here. There are some things that can be controlled by applying the laws of this thing, like prayer and all those things. You can control as much as you can, but you cannot. Just like the country, try changing this whole country to 90% Christians right now and bring the Bible. You can. I mean, you intercede more, you pray, you fast, you know. Don't think that just because you fast 365 days this year, you can change it. Look, I live a fasted life for many years now. It takes time to change some things. So these are things that takes time to change. Now you can do some things about it. Okay? You can do some things about it. If you want to have a revival meeting, you're doing something, get an intercessor, do all those things that control this ABCD that you know how. But there are some things beyond your control. Okay? Then what is important is everything in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is in your control. The speed of its increase you cannot control. But this is within your control. Hallelujah. So in developing the power gift, as they, you develop this as much as you can. So that at whatever level, and sometimes God humbles you. What do you mean by God humbles you? Although you could be highly developed and you have moved at level E before, God chooses to make you move at level A so that you learn to be obedient and humble. Remember Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8? Signs and wonders. And then God sent him to preach to one eunuch. Correct? See, God still sees, because sometimes when you grow really big, we must learn to do small things also so we remain humble. Correct? We have to. We have to. And we must always prepare. Jesus Christ, at the peak of his ministry, stripped himself, put on a towel, servant towel, and wiped his disciples' feet. Don't you think that job is not what he deserves? But he says he did it, so he showed his disciples a lesson. You are never too big to do small things. I still sometimes chauffeur people around. I still go and change the toilet roll in the office when I see it's not there. I still clean up when I see, you know, the things are dirty, I wipe it. You don't do it and announce to the whole world. Sometimes God wants you to do this. Jesus was highly developed here, but he did a servant's work here. Hello there. The power gives state of being as the key to moving into this area here. The power of the Holy Spirit. So the key developments are here. Meditate on the presence of God on your inside. Concentrate on God, not the side effect. Concentrate on God and conscious of God. If you have side effect, don't go against them. Just let it flow. Okay? And don't feel bad about it when you hear a message like that and I want to get beyond the side effect. God, yeah. Forget about getting beyond the side effect or having the side effect or not having the side effect. Just concentrate on God. Let what take place take place. It's a question coming up here.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking of those people in the traditional evangelical churches. Let's say a homemaker somewhere, someone faithfully serving God, and very well in loving God, and probably maybe be loved in level 4 or 5 in their inner life, but never had the revelation of the anointing and moving in the outward anointing. And what they know God tells them to be obedient. So when they saw heaven, they compared themselves to have to be both. I mean, would they have the same level of recognition as well done for a faithful servant? Or they have been so blind that because they never received the revelation, or they cut themselves off from giving in time for it, cut themselves off from giving in healing for the time. There are many people like that.
Yeah. Sadly, they are. Whatever they shut themselves off from, they are guilty and they are penalized of their reward.
So they will not be the same level as some of the
Yes. But the opposite is true. In the charismatic and Pentecostal realm, you have a lot of people here. They know how to move in there. You know there's a way to move in this way. You learn some secret. Some things are sort of contagious kind of thing. You learn that more by hearing and without even knowing that you know it. And they learn here very well, but they are very low development here. You could tell, I mean, everything, you could feel an outward thing, but there was some inward thing missing. You see, how do you sense it? It's like a vibration, you know, like two tuning forks. Whatever this person's spirit will cause a similar vibration in my spirit. And if it's highly developed, it vibrates a lot, my spirit vibrates with his. If it's, by vibrate, I don't mean a literal one. What I mean is a sensation. If it touches me, or whatever words you can use. Or if it's a little, it only moves a little. Sometimes you see a lot of things happening outside, but inside just moves. You know, small spirit man, but large anointing upon. And they learn the outward thing. Outside here, some interesting, some of the laws are very close to showmanship. demonstrative thing. But of course, without this one, it can be empty after some time. But yet, people get touched and healed. And so the opposite is true, opposite from what Dr. John was mentioning. If people are highly developed here and not developed here, they are also penalized and lose some of their reward. Both sides are true. Yes.
People pray over a person and they talk about enlarging, you know, their hands or whatever. Doesn't that also automatically mean concomitant necessary to increase of the inner?
First of all, will they throw stones at you for asking this question? No, okay, no, I'm just teasing your leg, pulling your leg. Okay, whether the tents are enlarged, I would think that yes. Every time you go closer in this area, your tents are enlarged on the inside. There's an enlargement on our inside. And with every measure of your experience in God, the presence of God actually can grow stronger on your inside. You do carry a greater presence of God within. The more experiences and the more knowledge and more we move into manifestation revelation in the realm of love and mercy, more and more in your life. So we can enlarge our vessels. And sometimes you can be so full to the level where you can't take it anymore. Here, when he is getting more and more, he can't take it anymore. Here increase suddenly can take some more. It can be. But remember, this increase takes time. This increase also takes time. Yes.
There's some saying that a person can manifest that power and life is only level 1. You can't say it's under sovereign. And the sovereign is
not. It's sovereign, yes, but some things are not sovereign. They are based on anointing upon. You see, there is a reward for ministry here. Okay? There's a reward for ministry. There's a reward for spiritual growth. So, and this depends on God's call and purpose. And God may call some people with different types of ministry, and they may not develop there, and they may contact. Just like, for example, it is very easy for men of God who travel a lot, who minister from city to city, to do very devotional time. And spending all their life just seeming to do the show. And personally, they're not very developed in their life. I'm sure they do lose something, but they do gain other things here. Of course, we need to develop both to be balanced. Inward anointing and outward anointing. But this outward anointing can be learned also. It can be acquired by coming under someone who has that. And you learn that. And it just follows you. It goes along. You learn to me. It's more catch. Some things we are taught, some things are caught. And people who grow up under Big Ten ministries, like let's say in Korea, let's say church growth. Because there are lessons learned on the church growth, and people learn the principle of church growth, principle of advertising, you know, you can learn from Robert Schuller and all those things, and they apply and they actually get results. But something on the inside doesn't seem so deep. I mean, there are big churches, they are not very deep. You find them all in the world. They don't look very deep. Their members are all very like babies. Tossed to and fro kind of thing. But they are sizable churches because they have discovered the laws here of church growth. Outward things. Whereas some churches, they don't grow that big, but every one of those members there are very, very spiritual. Hello there. There are different laws that they operate different things and you receive different things. So the best is to have both. Of course, we also need to focus on what God called a church to do and to be. And you just faithfully do what God wants. Praise God. Any other questions before we close? Yes, it does. So, when we pray in the spirit, you see what happens? These are not six circles. Your spirit man has a realm. I draw it here. Let's say you are here, And that's my green pen over there. And your spirit man here, let's say this is your level one. The level one has two positions, active level and dormant level. Now more complicated. Active level and dormant level. You know what I mean by active level? Let's say like, when you're doing natural things, you're not putting it at the active level. You're doing natural things. Some of you may, for a moment of time, forgot the presence of God. I mean, it's in your subconscious, you know that God is there. But you're busy doing things and you're really working hard. And you have not been sleeping. But at any time that you want to, you stop and you meditate and up it comes again. Da-da-da-da. Called stirring your spirit. Stirring your spirit. Yes, there's another question there.
Master, the anointing upon has a lot to do with dynamic power, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I want to ask a question in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11.
Yes.
That the prayer they make that we might be filled with the absolute knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully thinking in him, full in every good work,
with all might, the strong, the one is, and the dynamo, the dynamo, the according to glory, for all patience, supermoney, and long suffering with joy. Can you explain the mechanics of how the dynamo and power with the dynamo power and how that? Okay, the Greek word says in verse 11, with all dynamis, being dynamite, according to the kratos of his glory. And you see, in a sense, electricity is electricity. And it has certain effect on you. In an essence, in an essence, we're running out of English words now. This power is the same as this power. Although this one is more dynamic, more exousia, and here is more dynamic. You cannot really strictly divide it because sometimes the result looks the same. Alternating current and direct current is still electricity. Still electricity. And it can produce results that look the same. And so we have the current that is flowing out. But current is current based on the laws of electricity. There are laws that calculate current, voltage, Ohm's law and Watt law, and all these other laws that govern those things. They're discovered by man and name after man. And in a sense, exousia and dynamis is the same. It's just like saying, you know, there are four laws, four forces on earth: electromagnetic force, the nuclear force, and radioactive, you know, the force that that keeps the things apart, and there's force of gravitation. All these came from one, what do you call that? One force. And it produces the force. Scientists have discovered the connection between two of them over the past years. In they reported in the Time magazine all that, the W particle and I forgot what's the name they give to the other particle. They have linked two of them, but they haven't linked the rest. Couldn't link. But scientists today in nuclear physics realize that all these four forces, once upon a time, all these rocks came from something. So in the same way, you have exousia, dynamis, kratos, iskus. You remember those teaching on that? All these four forces came from something else. In its raw form, it was. So sometimes when you're developing at that time, all you get is coming out. And then because it's to abide in you, the oop need to change to ta 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 ta, which is the exousia. And then let's say the outside one, ta-da-da-da-da-da, okay? So it comes out as oop. But if it's oop all the time, you won't live long here because you cannot take it. Your body will dematerialize. So you get it as an oop, oop. But to remain in you as an abiding presence, you need to change it. Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it changes and it becomes a part of your exousia. So outside as it comes, as God sends, sometimes He sends the raw material. But if it's too strong, things can happen as out of this world. And people can just be translated and never see them again. Dematerialized. So in order for it to be conventional and to be centered and do all the things, God changed it. It goes, and then it comes, and it's at that level. And then sometimes people hear at a level, ta-da-da-da-da-da, and they receive, they open, oh yes, Lord, more. And then in order to wait to go strong, yeah, they open, they concentrate on God, it comes into their life, become ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're running out of words, so you have to use sound. To describe some of these spiritual things. Praise God. We're going to go to God in prayer, and we let you go. Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We ask, O God, that you continue to build our lives in you. We love you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything that you do, every move and every manifestation, everything. But we ask, O God, that you continue to put our focus on Jesus. Our focus on you. And help us, Lord, at all times. Even if our face should shine and our skin should shine and there will be great effects and side effects in the world. Help us, O God. And we keep our focus on you and on Jesus so that we can continue to grow in you and glorify you. We commit ourselves to you afresh, O God, that your will be done. Bless each one here, Lord, in all their various things that they have to do today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.